Today's meeting of the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission will come to order. Ms. Lanier, can we please have roll call?
President Arce.
Here.
Vice President Leveroni. Absent. Commissioner Jamdar. Absent. Commissioner Stacy.
Here.
Commissioner Thurlow.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Lanier. Before calling the first item, I'd like to announce that the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission acknowledges that it owns and are stewards of the unceded lands located within the ethno-historic territory of the Muwekma Ohlone tribe and other familial descendants of the historic federally recognized Mission San Jose Verona Band of Alameda County. The SFPUC also recognizes that every citizen residing within the Greater Bay Area has and continues to benefit from the use and occupation of the Muwekma Ohlone tribe's Aboriginal lands since before and after the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission's founding in 1932. It is vitally important that we not only recognize the history of the tribal lands on which we reside, but also we acknowledge and honor the fact that the Muwekma Ohlone people have established a working partnership with the SFPUC and are productive and flourishing members within the many greater San Francisco Bay Area communities today.
Item 3, approval of the minutes of October 28, 2025.
Colleagues, are there any corrections to the minutes of October 28th? Ms. Lanier, can we open public comment?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 3. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Item 3.
United Front Committee for Labor Party. I'm here to speak about the failure of this commission and the director to deal with the systemic racism in the PUC.
Sir, this item is for the minutes.
The what?
The minutes.
The minutes.
Yes.
The minutes of our October 28th meeting. Thank you. Are there any public comment speakers for the this item, which is approval of the minutes of October 28th. Do we have anyone appearing remotely, Ms. Lanier?
Moderator, do we have any people with their hand raised?
There are no remote callers for this item.
Thank you.
Ms. Lanier, can we please reflect that Commissioner Avni Jamdar has arrived? And can I also get a motion to approve the minutes of October 28th?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Second by Commissioner Jamdar. Can we have a roll call, Ms. Lanier?
President Arce.
Aye.
Vice President Leveroni, absent. Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Stacy?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
The item passes. Item 4, general public comment. Members of the public may address the commission on matters that are within the commission's jurisdiction and are not on today's agenda.
Thank you, Ms. Lanier. The Commission values civic engagement and encourages respectful communication at the public meeting. We ask that all public comment be made in a civil and courteous manner and that you refrain from the use of profanity. Thank you.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on general public comment. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? I have Mr. Francisco Da Costa.
Commissioners, my name is Francisco Da Costa. I'm the Director of Environmental Justice Advocacy. I'm an advocate. If I speak on behalf of anybody, I speak because I have empirical data. This case on Joe King, his son Conrad, and our good friend Adolfo calls for a deep understanding about the utter corruption on the highest level that exists within the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. We need this case to go before the civil service. We need to go through all the characters that I spelled out in my letter, Billy, Stevie, Jordan, all convoluted characters ganging up on Joe King. Tell me, for 8 years a man worked and nobody ever wrote him up. Then suddenly all hell breaks loose. And why would the city attorney, and why would the general manager, and why would the other managers, and why would Chan, who's got nothing to do much, gather the employees to gang up against Joe King? This is wrong. This is wrong. This is very wrong. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Joyce Ulio.
Good afternoon, commissioners. First, I want to thank you all for the opportunity to speak. I fix this. I don't want it all in my mouth. Okay. What I'm bringing before you is not just about one employee. It's about retaliation. It's about corruption and unfair treatment in our city workforce. Joe, who I know, we're actually Jaguars, alumni of J.U.G. McAteer, a proud, hardworking Samoan American, a native like myself, spoke up for safety, fairness, and respect. After these complaints, safety, overtime, discrimination, management, target, and turned against him. Within 2 months, they moved to fire him. Another tactic that you guys possibly had read about. He warned supervisor about safety, supervisor Bill Terhan, Frank Jordan, about confined space safety. We're talking about safety here. Then he questioned the new overtime system that cut into pay for not only him, but other employees. When he went to the union, that's when they all decided he had to go. From there, the so-called investigators or investigation to me was biased and dishonest.
Thank you for your comments.
Can you summarize, only because you had the microphone issue, but if you can summarize in a sentence, only because we have to limit all our commenters to 2 minutes.
We're not asking for special treatment, only fair treatment.
Thank you.
To be heard, to be respected, and to know that justice still remains in our city in 2025.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you for your comments.
Melanie?
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Melanie Ungay-Tsofa, and I'm here today on behalf of Joseph King and Conrad Valencia King, two men of integrity and character who have been wrongfully treated by the very system they served. Joseph King is not another employee. He is a leader, a pillar in the Pacific Islander community, and a man defined by loyalty, honesty, and dependability. Over the years, he earned 5 promotions, not through favors, but through hard work, skill, and ethics. He's the kind of person everyone can count on, a great father, brother, cousin, and friend. When people need help, Joe shows up. His son, Conrad, carries the same spirit, a young man who graduated with honors, respectful, driven, and proud follow in his father's footsteps. Yet, instead of being recognized, Conrad was targeted and dismissed, not because of his performance, but because of his father's situation. And I ask each of you, if this was your son, your husband, or your brother, how would you feel watching them lose everything they worked for simply because of bias and retaliation? This isn't just about employment, it's about fairness, dignity, and accountability. The Kings aren't asking for sympathy, they're asking for justice, for truth to be seen, and for fairness to be restored. Because if we allow this to happen to one family, it can happen to any of yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Sonia King.
Hi, good afternoon, Commissioner. My name is Sonia King, wife of Joseph King and Conrad's mother. It has been over 2 years since our family was thrust into a painful and unjust ordeal. Yet the trauma still feels fresh. I stood to witness to the false accusations, slander, and mistreated that sought to break my husband and deeply wounded our son. The emotional toll has been immense, sleepless nights, declining health due to stress and financial hardship, all stemming from this misconduct and unprofessional within the SFPUC Water Department. Despite this, we have slowly begun to reclaim our narrative, one grounded in truth, not the lies that were used to discredit and harm us. We know we are no longer silent. Today, I respectfully ask the Commission for clarity, peace, and justice. I urge you to investigate the wrongful actions taken by management and to take the necessary steps to make things right, not for just my family, but for your integrity of your institution. Thank you.
Thank you. I am going to spell what I think I see. Serrantos, is that the last name? Serrantos.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Christian Serratos. I'm here on behalf of Adolfo Padilla. I'm a proud San Francisco native for over 37 years, a Hispanic man with deep roots in this community. I've been a member of Local 38 and have worked as a plumber for over 20 years. One truth I could definitely say to you about SFPUC is that it's one of the most difficult departments for minorities to access, not because of work itself, but because of the entrenched corruption and nepotism that has hindered far opportunities that blocked systemic and favoritism and discrimination. I've personally known Adolfo for 15 years. He's the type of person that would go out of his way to help you with no judgment. He's been there for me at my lowest, and my family and I are here in his lowest. After getting wrongfully dismissed, seeing him go through this was very devastating, especially how negatively it has impacted him mentally and physically. Unfortunately, due to an unwrongful act, not only it affected him and his immediate family, but it also affected both sides of the family and friends. I'm a Local 38 foreman, and we have protocols and regulations to establish to properly lay off workers. The way Adolfo was dismissed looks to me that all protocols and regulations were thrown out the window. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Alessandra?
Hello, my name is Alexandra. I'm a school site coordinator and a proud SF native. I've personally known Adolfo and Joe and his son for years. In that time, I've known them as a devoted family man and some of the hardest working people you'll ever meet. When Adolfo started going through this situation, it was truly heartbreaking to see. This is someone who has always been full of joy and positivity. But over the time, I began to see the change, the stress, and the disappointment. The eyes that were once full of life and happiness became filled with pain. And for what? What has been done is stripped them of their lawful rights and taken away their opportunity to live with dignity, all so that a few people in positions of power can remain untouchable, using fear to control workers and remind them of who's in charge. Adolfo Joe and his son deserve better. They deserve fairness, respect, and the opportunity that was unjustly taken from them. Do what's right. Restore what has been taken. Show them and every worker watching that justice still matters. Thank you.
Thank you. Adolfo Padilla.
Hello, commissioners. I stand before you to shine a light on the harsh but true reality, our battle against ignorance, prejudice, and unequal power structures. It is crucial for us to recognize that the privilege by those in power are often built by the oppression of others. When a worker decides to bring concerns to management, they put a target on our back and try to get rid of us. They hold no resentments toward the well-being of others. They use deception to damage the images of our workers like ourselves. They manipulate the system that's set with fairness and steps to their favor, showing no transparency or accountability for their actions. Managers at CDD seem to exhibit narcissist tendencies, expecting workers to beg for their approval and instilling fear into maintaining control. They prioritize power over fairness and integrity. It's disheartening to see that the corruption has taken a hold of the SFPUC, especially when you guys have allowed it to go on for so long with no repercussions. We're not asking for handouts. All we're asking is for a fair opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Sweetie Tagara.
Greetings, Commissioner. Mr. Jones, I'll say good to see you again, sir. My name is Sweetie Tagara, and on behalf of SALT organization here in San Francisco, we just want you all to know that Joe Kane Conrad have a organization and have a community that stands in solidarity with him. Joe and his son are not only Pacific Islanders, but they are sons of Samoa. Pacific Islanders make up 73% of people that they live in low-income housing. Here we have two young men that are product of, this is four generations. His father was the first pastor here in San Francisco that built the church. So Joe is the third generation. His son is the fourth generation here in San Francisco. And so you all know the details of everything that has transpired with the wrongful termination of Joe, the son, and also Adolfo. We ask you, please look into this matter. Just like the young lady said, if this was one of your sons, your husband, and then a son to have his first time to ever have a job, to see his father, what kind of trauma do you think that that young man is experiencing? Let's stop the hypocrisy. Let's stop the corruption that is going on. And let's do the right thing. This is why you all are appointed to these positions. These why you guys are here to sit there and to serve the community. So we just ask you, please. We are one of the most marginalized communities here in San Francisco. One of our own has made it. And so let's just continue to help us get out of this hole and not keep us in the hole. Thank you so much, Mr. Arce. Good seeing you again.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Mr. Meow.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I just want to read a scripture for you. It's in the book of Romans in the Bible, chapter 13. It says that it talks about authority figures. It says everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. You know, God has given every man and woman conscience. He has placed conscience in us, in our minds. And what is that conscience? It tells us right from wrong. This situation right here, you know, I'm not even going to speak on. You heard already what's been done to these young men. You know, we're just asking you to do the right thing. Do what's right. God, believe me, God is going to have the last word in this situation, whether you believe it or not. And I just wanted to share that with y'all. God bless y'all, and may you do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Steve Zeltzer with the United Front Committee for a Labor Party. So this is the third time that this has come up about this frame-up, racist frame-up at this agency. And the fact that these workers, these laborers, did not get a hearing not only from this commission, but their own union is the question, the laborers and the San Francisco building trades. Why has this travesty taken place? What is the culture in this agency that has allowed this frame-up? And it really a conspiracy to violate labor and democratic rights. That's what's taken place right here in San Francisco at this commission. And unfortunately, it's a history. It's a history of commission. The director here has a responsibility in the past for firing a whistleblower who was a lawyer at the city attorney's office. And he was appointed by the past mayor to head this agency. Where's his accountability? Why did the Board of Supervisors approve this? Who is running San Francisco? Why are people not being held accountable for what they do? These are basic questions. And we have to ask now that this really tragedy and violation of democratic rights, violation of the city charter, violation of all civil rights has taken place. Where is the outcry? Where is the even question of the commissioners? The city attorney, where is he? Has there been an investigation by the city attorney about the flagrant violations of the charter and our civil rights? Where is Mayor Lurie, who says he wants to clean up San Francisco? Where is the mayor in this issue of systemic racism and a political frame-up of workers here, a racist frame-up? We have to ask those questions, and it's not going away. This is not going away because people's lives are involved. People's lives and communities are involved. So we are demanding that there be an investigation. We are demanding that this issue be confronted and that these workers be allowed to go back to their jobs, and those people who did this be held accountable and be responsible for what they did.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
We have three remote callers.
We're just taking a moment to use the new WebEx update that we're testing in real time, I suppose.
First caller, your mic has been unmuted. You have 2 minutes.
Caller, are you there?
Good afternoon. Yes. You know, you called me up, and then there was a recording that spoke for about 10 seconds, and so I waited for it to clear before speaking, but that might be a glitch that you could look into. This is Peter Dreckmeyer. I'm the policy director for Yosemite Rivers Alliance, and I just heard some incredibly eloquent speakers, and I believe them because I know there's corruption at the SFPUC. I know there's rarely any consequences unless the FBI steps in, and I hope you'll take what they said very seriously and do something. The commission, you're the leaders here. It's not the staff. You were appointed by the mayor. The mayor is not very engaged. The mayor is counting on you to be leaders. Last week, there was a State Water Board workshop on the Tuolumne River Voluntary Agreement. I encourage you to have your own workshop. Do you understand what your staff has been pushing and that it just won't work? And I'd like you to have included in that workshop an analysis of, does the SFPUC really need to support a failed voluntary agreement, or can you meet the Bay Delta Plan flow requirements without risking running out of water? I send you all this information, feels like it gets ignored, you get 2 minutes. We used to have workshops where you'd hear from the NGOs that you could make, or your predecessors could make informed decisions. It doesn't happen anymore. There are a lot of problems facing the SFPUC. Some of them can be avoided, but you need to make better decisions and you need good information to do that. So once again, I applaud all those who showed up today. Keep up the good work. You've got our support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Second caller, your mic has been unmuted. You have 2 minutes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi there. My name is Shannon Hizutake. Good afternoon, commissioners. I wanted to take a moment to speak about someone who means a lot to me and my family, Joe King, previous employee of SFPUC. Joe is one of those people whose character truly speaks for itself. He's steady, humble, and kind. You can always count on him, not just to show up, but to show up with his whole heart. There's something genuine about Joe King that everyone knows him can feel. He treats people with respect, listens with care, and carries himself with quiet strength. He doesn't look for attention or recognition. He simply does what's right because that's who he is. He's a devoted family man, and that same sense of dedication shows in everything he does, especially in his previous work at SFPUC. Joe gives his best always, and he leads by example with integrity and pride in what he does. I was lucky enough to see that same heart when he coached my youngest son in youth football. He didn't just teach the game. He taught those kids about teamwork, confidence, and respect. He cared about their growth as people, not just as players. Joe's kindness, honesty, and genuine spirit makes our community a better place. He lifts people up without even realizing it, and we're all better for knowing him. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your comments.
Third caller, your mic has been unmuted. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, council members and community leaders. My name is Mary Longy, and I'm calling in today to speak to the character of the two men behind the accusations before them, Conrad King and Joe King. These two men are both Polynesian men. Joe, I want to speak to, is a husband, a father, and someone whose life has always been rooted in faith, family, and hard work. These two men are from the city, raised right here in San Francisco. They went to school here, grew up here. The culture of the city is part of their DNA. Working for San Francisco meant everything to them. It wasn't just a job. It was his purpose and pride. When they lost their job, it took away more than just an income. It took away a piece of who they both were. You see, in our Polynesian culture, everything centers around faith and family. Our men are taught early at an age to lead, protect, and provide. And when that's taken away, it cuts deep. It weighs heavy on the heart and the spirit. They both carried that pain quietly, feeling like they failed their family, even though they didn't. But through it all, they both never gave up and still had held steadfast to faith. They stayed strong for their loved ones and continued to help others even when they struggled themselves. They're not asking for pity, they're asking for their job back, an opportunity to look into and investigate what's been done wrong. The work that they gave them pride and purpose and peace. I ask you not to just hear the story, but to hear the man behind it. His heart, his faith, and his love is for the city. Both of them, I love you all, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. No more callers in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lanier, and I want to thank each and every member of the public who came out to provide comments today and on the phone. Can we hear the next item, Ms. Lanier?
Item 5, report of the general manager.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Item 6, consent calendar.
Colleagues, we have 6 items on the consent calendar. Is there any discussion on any of these items? Commissioner Stacey.
Thank you, President Arce. I had a maybe just a, I want to make sure I understood 6C and 6F. My first, I guess mostly confirmation is that 6C is an extension and an approval of an increase in contract amount for a construction staff augmentation services, and that it is related to item 9, the extension of time for Anvil Builders. Is that right? So one is the management contract and the other is the actual construction contract. Yeah.
Afternoon, Commissioners. Yes, Stephen Robinson, AGM for Infrastructure. Yes, that's correct for that particular question.
Okay. And then I had a question on 6F. I didn't understand reading the item. What makes this an interim improvement? Are the components going to be replaced, or is the entire facility going to be replaced? It's called an interim improvement.
Good afternoon. Jignesh Desai, Regional Project Manager for Treatment Bayside.
Thank you.
This project is interim to extend the lifespan of the pumps and the concrete structure for next 15 years while we work on a new booster station, which is part of the capital plan, long-term capital plan. So this will take us to next 15 years of a good repair and so continue service. This is our effluent station, which puts the flow into the bay, treated effluent. So just extending the lifespan until we have a new capital project that will replace and increase the capacity.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner, any other questions, comments? All right. Can we take public comment, Ms. Lanier?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 6. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item?
Commissioners, I've known Jagnesh for a long time. You commissioners have failed to look at your chart where the managers are now doing harm to the workers. Jagnesh is an exemplary project manager who goes to work early in the morning at 7 o'clock and returns from the treatment plant late in the evening. A very hard worker. You know what's good about Jagnesh? He uplifts the people. He has empathy. Unless some of those who act like the KKK. Commissioners, this corruption has reached saturation point. And y'all have to go out of your way, and I'm addressing this to the city attorney, because in all our commissions now they have the city attorneys. They listen to everything, but they cannot do anything about it. So that's what I want to say. This is very disturbing. And the managers are not doing the right thing. An exemplary manager is Jagnesh. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lanners. Do we have anyone on the remote comment?
No remote callers.
All right, thank you. With that, public comment is closed. Colleagues, can I get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Move to approve the consent calendar.
Motion by Commissioner Stacey. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Thurlow. Can we have a roll call, Ms. Lanier?
President Arce?
Aye.
Vice President Leveroni, absent. Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 6 passes.
All right,
item 7.
Thank you, Ms. Lanier.
Approve an increase of $1,500,000 to the cost contingency and an increase of 360 calendar days to the duration contingency for contract number WW-662R, Southeast Water Pollution Control Plant Power Feed, and primary switchgear upgrades with Blocka Construction Incorporated.
Yeah, may I please have the slides? Yeah, good afternoon, President Arce and fellow commissioner. Yeah, my name is Roland Sun. I'm the project manager for this contract entitled WW-662R Southeast Water Pollution Control Plant Power Feed and Primary Switchgear Upgrades. I'm here to present this agenda item and to request your approval to increase the cost and duration contingencies of this contract. The objective of this project is to increase reliability, redundancy, and capacity of the Southeast Plant's electrical system with the dual utility power feeds, one from the SFPUC Hetchy Chechy Power from Petrero Switchyard, the other from PG&E's Hunters Point Switchyard. The photo on your right shows the newly constructed switchgear building 032 and the two outdoor metering cabinets. At present, construction is about 90% completion with the Southeast Plant electrical system entirely operating on Hetchy Chechy Power and with PGE Power on standby. The remaining work related to the PG&E power feed include the following: to develop a revised design and a short circuit coordination study to address PG&E's regulatory requirements, to install the interrupter mechanism to ensure safe operation, to connect PG&E feeder to the metering cabinet, and finally to reconfigure all protective relays and to retest circuit by circuit to confirm compatibility and reliability. This slide is a summary of the contract cost and duration, including its contingencies. All of the modifications, 1 through 54, were previously approved by the Commission. In order to complete the contract, staff is requesting the commissioner's approval for an increase of $1.5 million to the cost contingency and an increase of 360 days to the duration contingency for a total proposed cost limit of $37,318,620 and a duration limit of 2,289 days. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Sun. Colleagues, do we have any questions? Commissioner Jamdar.
Thank you for that presentation. I was just curious what the new PG&E regulatory requirements are, if you could elaborate on that.
The new requirements mainly to install a new mechanism. It's like an interrupter mechanism. It's for safety. But in order to do that, we have to come up with a new design, unfortunately, and also to reconduct the short circuit coordination study. So we do the right setting for all the protective relays. And then after the connection of the PG&E feeder to the outdoor switchgear, then we need to retest it to make sure that to confirm
the reliability and compatibility of the entire electrical distribution system.
Yeah. Understood. Thank you. And so it's just a contingency. So you don't expect to use the 1.5 million, but it's a contingency.
As of now, we don't expect any further requests for changes. Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Stacey.
I had the same question as Commissioner Jamdar. I just wanted to understand better what the PG&E requirements are. So we are using, this project is using Hetch Hetchy power, but we're relaying it through some PG&E facilities. Is that why these PG&E regulatory requirements apply?
Well, first of all, this is a new requirement. In the past, when we the existing is the PG&E feed, but since we bring the BCTD power, the HHH power, so the entire plant is now operating on the new PUC power. And then that's why we put PG&E on standby. But regardless, we still need to do some modification to the existing feeder. And because the current regulation from PG&E that require us to install the safety device, they call it the interrupter. So install the piece of work, we need to, so to speak, dig up the ground, put in a new electrical manual to install that. And then before we do the work, we need to redo all the, they call it, short circuit coordination study to make sure that there's no error in terms of operation, just in case we put PG&E power online, yeah, as a backup, yeah.
I see. So that's what the contingent nature of this is. We're not sure that we're going to install any PG&E power backup. Is that, did I understand you correctly?
Well, the PG&E line is part of the contract, but the new regulation is new to us. Yeah, we could not have predicted this early on. So when we first applied the permit, we applied it as a modification to the existing power lateral. But PG&E will come back say that it is a brand new connection, and therefore we have to do all this extra upgrade.
Okay. Thank you. I note that some of the past contract modifications were also to comply with PG&E requirements.
Yes. The last time was kind of related to our own BCTD power,
mm-hmm.
and this time is entirely. From the PG&E, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Stacey. Commissioner Thurlow.
Thank you so much for the presentation. I'm going to try to maybe ask a similar question again, just so I can understand. We basically have this new requirement for an interrupter, and we are using Hetch Hetchy power, but we're using PG&E power as a backup.
Yes.
Would we still require this? Is the interrupter because of the combination of two potential power sources, or would we have it if we weren't using any PG&E power? Would the requirement still exist if PG&E power were out of the picture, but we were just dealing with Hetch Hetchy power? Does that make sense?
Yeah, when we're getting a new feeder from Hetch Hetchy power, and then HHH power takes care of all this upstream already. So there's no, so to speak, irregularity from the regulation. Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm not totally sure I understand. So is the requirement because we are trying to move between power sources, and it's just because we're using Hetch Hetchy power, so...
Barbara Hale, Assistant General Manager for Power. Regardless of who owns the grid that is serving the facility, it's getting Hetch Hetchy power. So just baseline information there. We have our own grid services through the Bay Corridor Transmission and Distribution Project. Roland referred to that earlier. That's the primary feed for the facility. As a backup, to meet regulatory requirements that wastewater services face, we need to retain the service from the PG&E grid that got Hetchy Power to the facility before the improvements. Mm. PG&E, while the project was in construction, changed the wholesale distribution tariff requirements, making it so that that existing feed off the PG&E grid would need to have this new equipment installed.
Got it. So this is completely related to this broader issue of the tariff and the sort of
that is correct
requirements.
Perfect. That is
Thank
correct.
You. Sorry.
And this is one of the many projects that we report on in our quarterly reports to you. So you'll see some of that history that Commissioner Stacey was referring to recounted in that report. Our next report is coming up in January. And so some of these new changes that we're hearing about today will be reflected there then.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both, and thank you, Commissioner. If there's no other questions, can we go to public comment, Ms. Lanier?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 7. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none.
There are no remote callers.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, colleagues. Can we get a motion to approve item 7?
Motion to approve
item 7. Moved by Commissioner Jamdar. Is there a second?
Second.
From Commissioner Stacey. Roll call, please, Ms. Lanier.
President Arce?
Aye.
Vice President Leveroni absent. Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 7 passes. Item 8. Approve an increase of $8 million to the cost contingency and an increase of 638 calendar days to the duration contingency for contract number WW-639, Oceanside Water Pollution Control Digester Gas Utilization Upgrades with Monterey Mechanical Company. Please note that an edit was made to the third whereas paragraph within the resolution correcting the original contract duration to 820 consecutive calendar days. It is the corrected resolution that is for consideration by the commission.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, President Arce and commissioners. My name is Brian Carlomagno. I'm the senior project manager for this project. May I have my slides, please? Great. For this project, staff's recommending that the commission approve an increase of $8 million to the contract cost contingency and an increase of 638 calendar days to the contract construction duration for the contract. The existing cogeneration engine generators at Oceanside are over 20 years old and at the end of their useful life, and they have experienced extensive downtime in recent years, resulting in lost power and cost savings, and result in high maintenance costs and have additional demands on maintenance staff. Oceanside currently produces approximately 400,000 cubic feet of biogas per day that's permitted by the Bay Area Air Quality Management District to be flared, while the cogen and boiler systems are under construction. Currently, the boilers at Oceanside utilize a PG&E natural gas to heat and maintain digesters at process temperatures. The cost of PG&E gas at Oceanside is approximately $40,000 per month. The project cogeneration engines are also permitted by the Bay Area Air Quality Management District and are capable of producing electricity and hot water in order to fully utilize the biogas produced on site. And the objective of the project is to fully utilize the biogas resource generated on site to reduce PG&E costs to operate the facility. This project is intended to replace the existing cogeneration engine generators, replace a gas storage vessel and gas conditioning equipment on site, provide exhaust gas conditioning equipment and heat exchangers, ventilation upgrades, replace an electrical substation, and provide a standby diesel generator. And before you today, the additional scope increase is to upgrade the site electrical service to comply with PG&E wholesale distribution tariff requirements. the project current status and remaining work. Construction is 90% complete and is awaiting the PG&E wholesale distribution tariff compliance infrastructure installation along Skyline Boulevard. Boiler equipment has been relocated and the construction of the new gas storage vessel is complete. Final mechanical and electrical installation of the cogeneration engine systems is underway, and final site work is also underway. The photo before you represents the area along Skyline Boulevard looking west, where the electrical infrastructure improvement work is proposed to be installed. Most of the work is underground conduit and electrical infrastructure. We plan to construct a new utility vault, concrete pad, and PG&E equipment cabinet pedestal adjacent to the existing primary service poles on site. This additional work along Skyline Boulevard has been reviewed and approved by the Planning Department. Why are the increases in cost and duration contingencies necessary? This requested $8 million in cost contingency and 638 calendar days contract construction duration is slated to cover PG&E services, engineering, and the installation of additional electrical infrastructure. The improvement work needs to occur sequentially while the treatment plant remains in operation. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. Any questions, colleagues? Commissioner Stacy.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. So on site, we're going to be using electricity, gas, and backup diesel to run this system. Is that what I understand for the project generally?
Yeah. In the event of commercial power loss, we have a standby generator, diesel mm-hmm. generator.
And could you tell me, I am sorry, I don't know, the wholesale distribution tariff, that's another similar requirement that we saw at the, in item
yes,
seven, is that right?
Yes, very similar, yes.
Uh-huh, okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner. And Brian, just for the record, for commissioners and the public, after publication of the materials and the day duration of 638 calendar days extension, there's been a clarification that the actual requested duration is 820 consecutive calendar days, which is before us in the resolution. Do I have that right? No?
That's not correct. The original contract duration was presented approximately, let me see. It was presented on the third clause of the commission resolution as 3,231 consecutive days, and that was incorrect. The correct original contract duration is 820.
You mind to just clarify where the 638 then fits in with the number with four figures and then the number we're
sure.
talking about being the
sure.
802?
So before you today,
820 rather. I
yeah, before you today, I'm requesting an additional 638 calendar days for a total contract duration of 3,231 calendar days.
So. All right. I saw the number 820, and I apologize to trip us up if that's the case. Did I see the number 820 somewhere? The original. So that the revised is 638. Additional
added,
to get us to
added
the
to in addition
820 plus 638 gets us to the number of
plus additional previously approved modifications gets you to a number of 3,231 consecutive calendar days.
Got it. So, am I correct that we're being asked to approve an $8 million additional cost contingency and an increase of 638 calendar days as the proposed action in front of us?
That is correct, Mr. President.
Thank you, Brian. All right, can we take public comment?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 8. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none.
Remote callers.
Thank you. No remote callers.
All right. Thank you. Can we get a motion to approve the increase of $8 million to the cost contingency with an increase of 638 calendar days to the duration contingency for this contract, colleagues?
I will move the corrected resolution where the number in the third whereas clause has been corrected.
Thank you, Commissioner Stacey. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Thurlow.
President Arce?
Aye.
Vice President Liberoni is absent. Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 8 passes.
Item 9.
Approve an increase of 602 calendar days to the duration contingency for contract number WW-645R with Anvil Builders Incorporated.
Good afternoon. It's Brian Carlmagno again. Here for the second item. May I have the slides, please? Staff's recommending that the SIPC Commission approve an increase of 602 calendar days to the duration of the contract 645R Westside Reliability Improvements Project. The objective of the project is to improve the reliability of Westside Pump Station by replacement of essential wastewater process mechanical and electrical equipment and ventilation, plumbing, instrumentation, and control improvements. This is an aerial site map of the area at Sloat and Great Highway. The scope of the contract includes the construction of a new electrical building housing new electrical substation equipment, utility improvements, site landscape and civil work, public art, and the existing building shown at the center of the figure is subject to a new roof, concrete repairs, replacement of course bar screens, mechanical valves, and a hydraulic power unit, ventilation, electrical, and INC improvement work. The project current status and remaining work. Construction is 65% complete with the PG&E connection to the new electrical building within the interior of the substation. Work is complete. The new bar screens equipment and cross-connect channel within the existing building is also complete. Public art installations are complete. The existing sculptures have been relocated and the new mural has been installed on the new electrical building. The remaining work that's that remains on site is a site construction of a new knife gate structure and mechanical equipment, the installation of new electrical equipment at the existing building south courtyard area, installation of underground utility work along the lower Great Highway south of Sloat, and site landscape restoration. The photo represents the area along Sloat Boulevard looking southwest where the new underground electrical infrastructure improvement work at the left has been completed, and at the right is the new electrical building with public art and the relocated public sculptures. Slide 5 of this represents the schedule relationship between the staff requested 602 calendar days for the construction of this contract WW-645R in alignment with consent calendar item 6C, Pro 181 CM Staff Augmentation Services. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Colleagues, questions? No? All right. Seeing no commission feedback, can we have public comment, Ms. Lanier?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 9. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none?
There are no remote callers.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Carlomagno. Can we get a motion to approve item 9, colleagues?
Move to approve item 9.
Motion from Commissioner Jamdar. Can we get a second? From Commissioner Stacey, we have a roll call. Ms. Lanier?
President Arce?
Aye.
Vice President Leveroni absent. Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 9 passes. Item 10. Accept work performed by Western Water Constructors Incorporated under contract number WW685R, North Shore Pump Station Wet Weather Improvements, approve modification number 19, increasing the contract duration by 249 calendar days, and authorize final payment to the contractor.
Good afternoon, Commission President Arce and Commissioners. It's always good to see projects closing out. So the intent of this project was to achieve one of the level of service requirement by this commission, which is reliability and redundancy. Our North Shore Pump Station is 150 million gallons a day wet weather facility. We needed a redundancy because currently there were two 75 MGD pumps. So in the event one pump goes down, we did not have redundancy. This project achieved a redundancy very innovative way. We upgraded our dry weather pumps to a higher capacity and included a cross connect. So the new pumps will give a third pump redundancy when the second pump of the wet weather facility goes down. So there's a big list of items that we also finished part of the project. But the ask today is to modify the contract for additional days with no additional amount to the contract and issue final payment to the contractor.
Thank you very much. Any questions, colleague, discussion? Okay, can we have public comment, Ms. Lanier?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 10. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none?
There are no remote callers.
Thank you.
Okay, colleagues, can we get a motion to approve item 10?
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Stacey. Is there a second?
Second.
From Commissioner Thurlow, can we have roll call, Ms. Lanier?
President Arce?
Aye.
Vice President Leveroni absent. Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 10 passes. Item 11, communications.
Any comments about communications we've received? Commissioner Stacey.
Thank you. I was delighted to read the annual multi-enterprise climate program update. I have lots of comments and questions, but I also think it would be great to have a hearing on the update. One of the items on my list in September was an update on all of our climate change projects and progress. And so if we could have a hearing on this report, I don't need to comment today. But it was a really interesting report. It's great to see all the progress. And I'm just hoping that maybe this can be the basis for our climate change informational presentation in the future.
We can get that scheduled, but it won't be till after the turn of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
No rush. It just was a really interesting report. And I'd love to hear more from staff and the public about what we're doing, what we can do better, what we're really succeeding at, but it was a really interesting report to read. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Jamdar.
I wanted to echo Commissioner Stacey's comments and sort of underscore her request. I'm very, very interested in this topic as well, and really great to see the updates and delve into some of the, particularly the SB 1221, the CAP updates, and many other juicy issues in this report. So look forward to that.
Thank you, commissioners. I wanted to state that individually, as one of five commissioners, I found compelling some of the statements and arguments that we received in a letter from the PUC Citizens Advisory Committee, which argued against some of the recommendations from the city's streamlining task force. And I individually, personally, as one of five members of this commission, and certainly in my individual capacity, found compelling the arguments against sunsetting that important body I also found it compelling, the arguments against term limits for that body. There's some expertise in that group and history of service that we'd be hard-pressed to find a replacement for if individuals were termed out, and a lot of knowledge that would be lost. Those are my individual reflections. Any other comments? Can we take public comment, if any, on item 11, Ms. Lanier?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 11. Seeing none.
There are no remote callers.
Thank you. Item 12.
Item 12 is items. Oh, apologies. Isn't there, is that, are we talking about items initiated by commissioners, parentheses, discussion only? Commissioners, are there any items to initiate for future discussion? We had one. Do you want to reiterate, Commissioner Stacey?
Sure. It's sort of a combo comment on item 11 and item 12 that I'd really appreciate a hearing on the climate program update, the multi-enterprise update. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other items? Thank you. I think we can go to our last and final item, Ms. Lanier.
Item 13, adjournment.
This meeting is adjourned at 2:36 p.m. Thank you, everyone.